I'll read you one verse this morning. We're going to go to teaching. Now ye are, this is in 1 Corinthians 20, 12 and 27. Ye are the body of Christ. Yeah, in case you didn't know what part you play. So I'm trying to find my part. I'm trying to find my place. Here it is. Here it is right here. Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. I want to talk and teach about the body of Christ this morning. Lord, be with us today as we teach this lesson about your body. Not my body, not my will, not my mind, but your body in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And you know, truly, I enjoy teaching these young men here, and sometimes Sister Dara's here, and we have five or six. But it's probably more important that I teach them than I teach you. And so that's why I don't want to waste an opportunity to teach them this morning. The body of Christ. We are not the spirit of Christ. We're not even the mind of Christ. What it said is, let that mind that was in Christ be also in you. You don't have Christ's mind. I can tell you, you don't. You have a wicked heart. That's what you have. Man's heart is exceedingly wicked. Who can know it? And so what we do have is a body. And he lost his body. He didn't lose his spirit. He lost his body, which housed his spirit. And so he wants to put his spirit in a body. See, spirits belong in bodies. Somebody said, oh, I don't want to go home. That devil's in my house. No, he's not in the house. He's in you. He's not in that house. He doesn't live in a house. He's going to live in a body. He lived in the man from Gadara. When they cast the demons out of the man from Gadara, what did he go into? Do you remember? He went out of the man of Gadara, the man that had all the demons, and they went into what? Okay, let me give you. A, cows. B, sheep. C, hogs. D, all the above. Shh. Cheating. Hogs. He went into the swine. And do you know there's some swiney people that go to church? Y'all just have to listen. There's some swiney people. They're hogs that go to church. And that's the ones he always visits, is those swiney people. Those people that are always complaining. They're always just rooting around, trying to find something to talk about. And so, see, I got to teach them right. And so spirits live in bodies. And so that's why we want you to be full of the Holy Ghost. Because the Spirit of the Lord, if you don't have his spirit, you'll end up being led by the wrong kind of spirit. Amen. Because you really yourself have a spirit. There's three spirits in the world. There's the spirit of Christ. There's your spirit. And the spirit of the Antichrist is the ones that work against Christ. And so for us to understand the body of Christ, we need to understand the Old Testament, the Passover. And we need to understand how the Passover relates to the New Testament. And I hope that y'all remember something about the Passover. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 7. I normally have, they have their Bibles here, and I get them to read and they help me out. But I'm going to do that this morning. 1 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, purge out therefore the old leaven, which is the thing that makes everything swell up, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, meaning pure, even Christ, our Passover, is sanctified for us. Do you know he was pure? He was pure. He was not, there was no leaven in him. There was no guile in him. There was no deceit in him. I hate deceitful people. Sometimes I've been teaching these kids for two lessons. I've been teaching about deceit. Sometimes we do deceitful things. We say, well, I didn't lie. No, you deceived them. And that's the same as a lie. And we have to be careful we're not deceitful. And so the Passover in the Old Testament was the night in which judgment came upon not only Israel or the Egyptians, but upon both of them. Judgment comes to all. Judgment is, you're not excluded from judgment, but you can be prepared for judgment. And so the night of the Passover is the night that Israel was released to exile out of Egyptian bondage and be free of their taskmasters, all because the householder took a lamb and sacrificed a lamb and shed its blood and put it on the lintel and the doorpost. Now, they escaped not because they were so holy. They escaped not because they were so pure, but what they had set aside unto God was. For the lamb would be without blemish. It would be pure. And then they would partake of the lamb. And by partaking of the lamb, they found atonement for their sins. They were actually rolled ahead for a year. And so they were able to exile or go out from Egyptian bondage, not because they were so holy, but because they were obedient. They were obedient unto the word of the Lord. And so we commonly preach and we sing songs, and there's a lot of them in the book about applying the blood. And they applied the blood on the doorpost up this way, the lintel, across and down. They took the blood of a lamb and they took some kind of a rag or something and they went on the outside and applied the blood so that when the destroyer, we say the death angel, but the Bible doesn't call it the death angel. It calls it the destroyer. And the Bible says the Lord said, I will pass through. So that destroyer was the Lord himself. And he passed through and he said, if I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And so he would pass over that house, not saying, well, let me check and see how righteous you are, or whether you've said your prayers today or not. What he was looking for was two things. And we only talk about the one thing because it was the external thing. We talk about the blood that went across the door. But there was actually something else that was as vitally important as the blood that went across the door. And it's never preached. It's this. They had to eat the lamb. We talk about the blood and blood, but what about eating the lamb? They had to eat all of it. He said, if you got a lamb that's big and you got a little family, you better get some visitors, get your neighbors, get some. You have to eat all of it. Has your mom ever told you to eat all of it? My daddy used to tell me that too. He'd tell you with this right here, eat all of it. And I did. I was obedient to him. And so when we look at Exodus 12 and 3, he said, speak unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, and a lamb for an house. One lamb, one house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. He wanted to make sure that it was. Now, it's important to understand this because this is symbolic of what's going to happen in the New Testament. You have to eat all of it. All of it. The lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats. You're going to set it aside for this purpose, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day. Don't say, okay, that's the Lord's. I'll feed it if I got anything left over. You're going to keep it up. You ever shown an animal in 4-H? Did y'all raise any animals? No. Well, we raised pigs and things like that and showed them in 4-H. But you had to keep it up. Whatever you set aside, you got to keep up. And so they kept it up. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it to the two side posts and of the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with the bitter herbs they shall eat it. The lamb of this household, the whole purpose was it was to be consumed. Amen. It was to be consumed. Amen. And so Christ is our lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we talk often about nothing can take away our sin but the blood. And that's true. But what about the body of Christ? What about the body of Christ? And so Christ was the equivalent of this young male of the firstling, meaning he had no offsprings. He was of that same variety, pure and a young one, with not having any offsprings that come out of his loins. And Christ, it says, is our Passover. He is the Lamb of God. And he is the one that made atonement for us like it did in the Old Testament Lamb. But what do we do with the body of Christ? The night of the Passover, the blood of the body was applied to the doorpost, and they consumed the lamb so that when the destroyer came through, they were spared. It is important to realize that the body of the lamb has many members, and this is kind of where I'm going with this morning. You got lots of members in your body. We call it a body because collectively it's the whole thing. But I want you to know this morning that your body has many members. Let me see if I can do this morning. See if I can take this. Yeah. Let's see. All right. This is body. Okay. This is body. B-O-D-Y. Body. Okay. Now on the back side, I'm going to write right eye. Right eye. Who wants to be the right eye? Oh, good. Right eye. Get to be the right eye. Who wants to be the left hand? Who wants to be the left? You can be the left hand. Right big toe. Who wants to be the right big toe? What happened? We all want to be the eye one. Humble Whitman. Okay, and then we have, oh, those swiney people. Nose. Who wants to be the nose? Well, you get to be the nose. Okay. Now, what did it say on the back side of that? B-O-Y-D, body. Okay, now let's go to Luke chapter 20. Hold on to that. Luke chapter 22 and verse 19. Because the body has many members. Each one of you are holding a member of the body. And in Luke chapter 22 and 19 it says, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them. Okay, I took the bread and broke it, saying, this is my body, which I give to you. This do in remembrance of me. So I took the body. It was one body. And I broke it into a what? What you got? Right hand. What are you?
Right eye.
The right eye. The nose and the big toe. Oh, praise the Lord. So each one of you are part now of the body. You're each members of the body of Christ because you have a part of it. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So we find here in the New Testament that the body of Christ was broken into these members, and each part of it has a great importance. But he said, in order to get this back together, he said, do this. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. So each one of you have a part of the body, but it's fragmented. But you have a member, right? You have a member. And the only way to get the body back together is to remember it. Yes. Yeah. The only way to get it back together is that we remember it. So that if you'll stand up here, come stand up, come on, stand up here. What do you have now? The nose? And you're the Y, huh? Okay, you stand here, hold your Y out. Come stand up here with what you have. You got the B. You got the O. That's B-O. You better get on that side. And then you, what do you got? You got the D. Get in your place. Find your place. Oh. Now hold it up. What do we say? We have body again. We have the body again. Hallelujah. And the only way we can have the body again is for all the members to come together. They have to remember. Thank you. You can be seated. Hold on to your body. Each one of them, and life will bring us different places and different people do different things. But the only way, he said, I want you to remember me. And the only way we can remember the body of Christ is that each member comes together. Hallelujah. And so he says, as oft as you do this in remembrance. He broke his body for us. In the Old Testament, we called it the Passover. But in the New Testament, we call it communion. Because now it's a fellowship. It's a fellowship now. It's communion one with another. So let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 27. Now ye, not me, ye, you, each one of you, are the body of Christ, members in particular, and God has set forth some in the church. You see, these are different administrations. First apostles, secondly prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles though? Are all noses? Are all big toes? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. But he said, covet earnestly the best gifts that ye shew I unto you a more excellent way. Yet I show unto you a more excellent way. We all have a function in the body of Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians 12 and 4, he said, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And so unless we come together, how would you like to spell body without the O? Or out the Y? Or without the B? It's not a complete body unless they come together in their rightful place. It needs to be in their rightful place. Amen. And you know, when you remember something, you go, you know what remembrance is? It's the remembering. It's the putting together what was fragmented. And you put it back. Oh, yeah, now I remember. Because it's what was scattered has now been brought together and into one complete thought. And now it's complete again. And the body of Christ was broken for each one of us. And it was fragmented. And the only way that the body of Christ can be represented in the church is when the church comes together. It's the only way it's going to look. The world will never see the body of Christ if we don't have everyone in harmony with each other. Amen. Let's read a little further. All right. And Paul said this. He said in 1 Corinthians 12 and 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, where's my eye? You're my eye? Okay, I'll be the hand. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Tell me you don't need me. Well, that was easy. I don't need you. Tell me that again. You don't need me. You don't need me. You're going to hurt my feelings. You don't need me. And the head tells the feet, I don't need you. See, the eye says, well, I'm the one that brings color into the body. You couldn't even see where you're walking, you dumb feet, if you didn't have my eyes. I'm the one that sees the beauty and all of that. You're dirty, you feet. I'm clean. If I get just a speck inside of me, ooh, I'm just upset. I'll make the whole body hurt if I just get a grain inside of my eye. That's how important I am. You'll walk around with dirty feet, but the eye can't take that kind of dirt like you do. The eye just keeps offending me. I don't need you. I don't need nobody. That happens about 18. I don't need nobody. But watch what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and 29. If the right eye, who's the right eye? If the right eye offend thee, sit over here. He said, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is more profitable for thee. What? The body. It's more profitable for the body. More profitable for thee that one of the members should perish and that not the whole body should be cast into hell. So it's more profitable, as painful as this is, to lose my right eye. As painful as that is, I can't let this perish because of that. This is called dismemberment. Sometimes, a member in a church or any organization or you name it can get so offensive that finally the body says, I reject you. You are hurting the hand, you're hurting the nose, you're hurting the toes, you're hurting the whole church. And it's better that we sing with one guitar or no guitar and we all make it to heaven than and lose our right eye, as painful as that would be, then all of us go to hell. Thank you, Drew. I'll let you back in. It's called dismemberment. In Colossians 1 and 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should dwell the fullness. The fullness is in the body, is in the church here today. God, Jesus represented the church. He married a bride, and the bride was called the church. If ye continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ, and in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Amen. Each one of us is part of the body of this church. You might say, well, I just don't do much, and maybe you could do more, and I hope that you can. But the truth is, we miss every one of you when you're not here or you're not participating. You know, I don't even think about, you know, sometimes, and I hope I don't get like this in administration, you get so used to, you know, the eye is so important and my hand's so important that I didn't really notice my big toe doing anything. But it's doing something. I just got kind of overlooked it because it's just, I'm so used to it. But if you took my big toe off, it's going to start affecting my whole body. Now, my body, if one part of my body hurts, the other part wants to help it. If I sprain my ankle, I saw Brother Valentine, he's like real McCoy, you know that guy. I saw him doing that. And you know what? What he's doing is he's lightly touching this and he's shifting the weight to his other leg because he needs the support now more than ever. More than ever, I need my left leg. I just didn't think I needed it so bad till my right leg got hurt. And now, all of a sudden, I need it. Now, what's my left leg going to say? Oh, I ain't helping you. I ain't helping you. You ain't never paid me no attention before. Now you need me, huh? That's not what we do. That's not what we do. We help each other in every way that we can. That's what the body does. And that's what the body of Christ should do. And that's what we should do as members of the body. You're not the body of Christ. You're a member in particular of the body of Christ. And each member seeks to help the other member because it functions as a body. Am I helping y'all any? All right. So the Passover in the Old Testament became communion in the New Testament. And this remembering remembering is the coming together, so that when we take communion, and I hope to do that very shortly, but when we take communion, we're each eating the same thing. We're all drinking the same thing. We're all doing the same thing. So that as oft as we do this, we're coming together as the body of Christ and remembering how his body was broken for you. They had to consume that whole body of that lamb. And you and I need to be the body of Christ, and we need to all be consumed in working together for the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, many times what we're doing is partaking of the fragments, But what happens is when we come together, we reform the body of Christ. We reform it because we're showing now, I've got the B-O-D-Y, I got the nose, I got everybody here together to reform the body of Christ. And if everybody will do their part, each one of us, each one of them, I do my part and you do your part, I'm telling you, this church, there's no end to what you can do where there is a mind to work. Amen. When two minds come together, three minds come together, even at the Tower of Babel, the Lord stopped them. Why? He said, because their minds have become one, and whatever they imagine, that's what they will be able to do. Well, if we'll take that into the church and we'll all work together for the same cause, there's no telling what this church can do. All right, let's clap our hands to the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. All right, take a quick break and we'll be back for morning worship.